Welcome to the Endless Honeymoon Podcast.
It's me, Moshe, and my co-host,
Miss Natasha.
Miss Natasha. Tasha, you're not my co-host. You're my main partner and my wife. I have a question for you.
Yes?
I've been thinking about this lately. I even texted our producer to ask her to remind me because I've noticed something about you recently. And
I'm becoming a raging bitch?
Well, I didn't not notice that, but that's not the specific observation that I'm making
now. I just feel pent up and you're the only one to take it out on.
Right. There is an issue with ongoing 2-year long ennui and then having that living with a person who's dealing with that.
Yeah. And I just feel like we've immediately skipped to now working full time all the time. And there was no like decompression, like socially. I want to feel like normal again. Interpersonally.
Are you commenting on the many Instagram comments that asked if we were getting a divorce after last week's episode? Because that's specifically what you said you didn't want to talk about today. So you're throwing me for a loop. Is that
okay?
Is that
what were you
going
to talk about?
No. Let's keep going. I like this.
No, I mean, I'm done saying it. I'm just saying.
I mean, there were people on the Instagram comments doing straight up, what's Oprah's friend, the therapist lady? Gail? Straight up Gail style. No, it's not Gail.
Gail's not a therapist, honey.
The one that interviewed DMX. What is her name?
Iyanla Van Zandt. Oh, she's amazing.
It was some straight up. What is it?
Iyanla Van Zandt style
interpersonal interventions from our listeners to you. One of them was like, "Girl, you need to realize why you love that man in the first place. He's doing his best. You got this, queen." And that's what I want to say to you, Natasha.
I got this.
You
queen?
You got this, queen.
Okay.
We're gonna be all right. You know, we're in. What are we on a? We are. It's as if we just landed a jet fighter on a ship in the middle of the Pacific. You know,
mm-hmm.
And you're just refueling right now. It's been a long trip. Almost got shot down by Soviet era fighter jets, and now you're just recouping. And you know what? If I got to be your straight up cucked out punching bag during that time, I'm here for it.
Oh, honey, that's so nice. And you do always pick up the slack. And thank you. I love you.
I love you too. Now, here's what I was observing recently. You haven't let me complete a nap in our entire marriage. I just realized it.
Why do you nap every day?
Why does it matter to you? You know how it takes a while to watch something happen until you realize it's a pattern? Like, I went through this style of abuse that I'm describing, the nap abuse, for 7 years until this month I realized, oh, this is actually, you resent when I take a nap.
It's like 2:00 in the afternoon. I need something. I'm like, Moshe. And then I finally find you napping and you're like, what? I was sleeping.
Yeah.
How would I know you were, I can't just like not call your name at 2:00 in the afternoon because you might be taking a nap.
I'm just saying sometimes also when I'll be taking a nap right in front of you, you'll also wake me up. So what's your excuse for that?
I probably needed something, needed an answer.
I think you don't like that I can nap.
I don't respect it.
You don't respect it. Why is that?
I don't respect the man who sleeps in who also needs a nap in the middle of the day. Why?
Well, because my body's like, I'm out.
All right. Well, it's okay. I don't mean to be judgmental.
I too am like a fighter jet, but every day is a battle. So I need a refuel. I take a 20-minute nap. I get a nice dream in. You know I'm dreaming about you every afternoon, right? Every single time I've ever slept since we've been together, since the first time we made love. You remember the first time we made love? On that stagecoach in that Gold Rush town?
Mm-hmm.
On that tour while that guy was asking us to stop and the police were called? Anyway, ever since that first lovemaking session, every time I've ever gone into REM sleep. Do you know what REM sleep is?
Yeah, it's like your deepest one.
Yeah, it's like from Athens, Georgia. Michael Stipe was the lead singer.
Yeah.
Every single time I dream of you. And I'm just gazing in your eyes while we make love. And I'm just repeating your name, Natasha, over and over again.
That puts a lot of pressure on me, honey.
Well, deal with it.
All right. All right. I have some questions that people have called in that I'd like to voice some answers to.
Let's do it.
Or would you like to talk about my attitude a little more?
I didn't even bring up your attitude. I was bringing up your problem with my naps.
Oh, yeah. It's fine. I like it. I'm a little jealous. I wish I could do it.
That's what I realized. I realized, and it took me 7 years to realize it, that the reason you wake me up every nap is not accidental. It's subconscious that you don't want me to be napping while you're awake.
Well, it's not just that. It's like you're enamored with like how long you were out.
I do love
my naps.
And
you always want me to like let you know like how like I like as if I'm sitting here timing you.
You honestly, and this is my real feeling, you should be when I'm napping gazing upon me and thinking to yourself, what a lucky woman I am. And like I'm an angel, like I'm a sleeping angel. Do I look a little bit angelic when I sleep?
Yes.
That is a very sweet answer. All right, let's read some questions from our listeners.
Okay. Okay, I thought this one would be good. It's from a guy. Should I... Oh, no, sorry. It's not a guy.
You're not going to read it because it's not a guy?
Anon, please. Should I pick out my own engagement ring or let him figure it out? This one I think is important because if you care at all about fashion, unless your guy is like very talented and really has great style, you should definitely point him in the right direction.
This is an easy one for the fellas out there.
Do not try to do this on your own.
For the fellas out there, all you got to do is head to your local mall, go to a place called Zales, and ask whoever works at Zales, you know, what the most stylish wedding ring is.
Here's what needs to happen. If you want him to propose, you have to let him know. This is just from the woman's point of view. If it's this is a hetero thing, so that's what happened to me. You got to let them know you'll say yes. Because mm-hmm. they don't want to be embarrassed.
Why is that a hetero thing?
Well, I don't know how it goes with two guys. You know, it might be a little different. I'm just saying, for guy, if you want the guy to ask you.
You say, I would say yes.
You just have to say it jokingly in some way just so they know that, okay, now I know that she will say yes if I do it. And then once you kind of like, if he mentions it more, you got to be like, okay, well, we really have to talk about the rings.
What are your feelings on prenups?
Prenups?
Prenuptial agreements. Prenups is short for prenuptial agreement.
We don't have one.
Honey, there's no reason to put up some theatrical fourth wall for our listeners. Yes, we do.
We do?
Yes.
We have a prenup?
You made me sign a prenup.
No, I
yes,
didn't.
You did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Really?
Yes, it states that I get nothing in a case of a divorce and that I'll actually owe you half of my income for the rest of my career.
Moshe.
This is what you said. This is your team.
We do not have a prenup.
Okay.
My team.
All right, let's do another one. Okay. How do you deal? Should I date a food influencer? The selfies are cringe, but I'm lonely.
Well, are you getting free food?
That's why you would date a food influencer? What's a food influencer, by the way? Just a person that gets free meals because they take pictures of stuff?
Good question. Because it's like, it's one thing to write.
Wait, it just occurred to me.
What?
You're a food influencer.
Why?
Because you have a food show coming out on TBS called Rat in the Kitchen.
Oh, so that makes me a food influencer?
And I got to be honest with you.
You don't want to date me anymore.
No, the selfies are cringe. Seriously, you become incredibly cringe. This is no disrespect to you, but you've become incredibly cringe since you got that show.
Oh my God.
All your selfies are like, I'm like embarrassed to be around you when you take them. You know how when we go to McDonald's and you'll take like a picture of you with a Big Mac?
Moshe.
And you hashtag Mackin.
I'm a food influencer.
You are. You're a food influencer. I'm a comedian and podcaster, and you're a renowned food influencer. I say you date anybody you want. Why would you not date a food influencer?
Sounds like you don't really like them. You're like, and I'm lonely.
Right.
And if you're lonely, you know, there's no harm in going out, but it's just, you know, is it better than time by yourself? That's what I would ask myself, because I love time alone.
Here's one for you. You'll love this one. I hate my husband's driving. What should I do?
You speed up. The Tesla has turned you into someone else.
Yeah, you're damn
like,
right.
All of a sudden, why are we going like 70? Like they're like on like a surface street.
70
but it's like a surface street. We're supposed to go 30 and then all of a sudden you want to change lanes and it's like, every man wants to pretend like they're like in Knight Rider or something.
To our younger listeners, every man wants to pretend like they're in Fast and Furious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, Knight Rider had like the car that talked to you.
Yeah, Kit.
And that's kind of what Tesla is.
Tesla is like Kit. Not in that it will talk to you, but in that you can do a fart sound that emanates from any seat in the car.
Here's what I hate about the Tesla. It's all about the Tesla. It's mm-hmm. like, how do you open the glove compartment? Oh, you've got to like talk to the Tesla and then massage the handle and then find the thing in the computer that has the where all of the gadgets are and then go to that place and then you'll find how to open up the glove compartment. It's like everything's like high maintenance.
What did you say? You don't want to have to drive an iPhone?
Yeah, that's how I really feel inside of it.
All right, listen.
And then the speeding is really bad. But Moshe is a good driver, but I do feel like he wants the Tesla to go in autopilot.
Yeah, I put it on autopilot 100% of the time.
Yeah.
You know why? And I'll tell you why.
I
tell you
why. That's weird.
I trust Elon Musk more than I trust my own instincts with my child. As a parent, I would say Elon Musk has proven nothing if not that he is an unbelievably caring father to both XR2, 12, 9, 11, and also his new child, which is named like what? Zero?
He got another child?
He got another child.
Oh no, what'd he name it?
He grimed out another child.
I thought they got divorced.
I think maybe he did one last nut on the way out. Or you know what he did? He did an auto nut. He did a leftover auto nut where he just puts on the auto drive and the nut makes its way to Grimes' kitchen. All right, should we do one more or what do you want to start the show?
I think we should start the
show. Let's start the show.
Don't we have people to call?
Yeah, we do have a caller.
Okay, now we're going to call Jenny in Portland.
Let's hear what Jenny has to say.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi.
Why'd you only greet her?
I said Moshe.
Oh.
Did it come out?
No, I guess it didn't come out. But you know what? I felt disrespected, and that's enough for me to have a resentment towards you for the rest of the call.
No.
What's going on? How can we help?
Well, I'm really excited to be here. Thank you. I'm a longtime listener, first time caller.
Heck,
I feel like,
yeah,
I need to say that. But okay, I'll just get into it. So I guess I'm part of what they're calling like the Great Resignation. I recently left the architecture firm I used to work for and started two businesses within the past year.
What are the businesses?
So one of them is my freelance design business, which is my main source of income right now. And it leverages the skills that I already have. But the other one I'm like super passionate about. It hasn't launched yet, but it has to do with creating patent pending. Yeah, right. Not OnlyFans, although it does come up a lot.
Okay. It has to do with what? Sorry. You know, I'm here for a cheap joke. I'm always here for a cheap joke. Go ahead.
It has to do with creating patent pending furniture for living with house rabbits.
This is what you're really passionate about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait. Hold on. Is it a specific item that is patent pending, or it deals in general with all of the different possible patent pending house rabbit furniture items that could exist in the world?
So it's basically a furniture piece that helps support this lifestyle of living with house rabbits.
Wait, that's a lifestyle?
What's a house rabbit? It's like you treat the rabbits like a cat?
Yeah.
Wait. Oh my God. Do you let your rabbit sleep in your bed with you?
I don't, but people do.
What is it? Is it a stool made of carrots, or like what lifestyle are you referring to? Do you have rabbits?
I do. Yeah, and I do. So, okay. So basically it's like, think of, a dog crate for a dog, right? Like a crate, uh-huh, but also a litter box cover for a cat. So it's like a cross between the two.
It's a cross between a box and a crate.
It's a cross between a litter box cover for a cat, because my rabbits are litter box trained. Mm-hmm. They hop around my house like a cat, but it could also be used as a temporary enclosure similar to like a dog crate.
Got it. And it's furniture?
It's furniture. So it looks like a beautiful credenza that you can have in your living room. You can hang out with your rabbits, but also like, you know, have a nice place to be.
Where were you when I was baby-proofing my house? I feel like it would have been nice to have like a glamorous baby-proofing line. Remember they wanted to put like...
Do you think she has any interest in something as pedestrian as a human being living in your house? She's talking about her lifestyle, which is bunny style.
So this is a thing I think like I have seen other women... with rabbits, and it's like having cats, right? But it's a little more niche.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, it's like having cats.
Now, are you an architect?
I'm trained as an architect, but I can't call myself that because I'm not licensed.
But you could get licensed to be an architect?
I could if I take like all of the exams that I need to take.
Got it. Okay. So what's your dilemma here?
Yeah,
You have an incoming, a flow of income coming from your design business. And your true passion is making teeny tiny toilets that you can sit on for rabbits. Is that right?
Sure.
Okay. What's the dilemma?
Okay. So during this transition time of like, you know, quitting my job and starting these businesses, I've been feeling like super insecure and indecisive about being a business owner, because like, being a business owner has never really crossed my mind until the last couple of years. And I have this whole background story about like being raised by immigrant parents and, you know, being raised by Vietnamese refugees. But basically, I've been feeling super insecure and I've just been really leaning on my partner emotionally. And he's been super, super supportive and like my biggest cheerleader. And I'm really grateful he's, you know, there for me.
He's human or he's a bunny rabbit?
He's human.
Okay.
I swear he's real.
Okay. Go ahead.
But I'm worried that I'm starting to burn him out because like my business, it's called Pink Rabbit Goods. I hope you don't mind me shamelessly plugging it.
No, I think you're going to get a very big endless honeymoon bump from our bunny owners on that listen to this pod. I mean, I can't even tell you. I'm going to let her finish, but I just want to let you know how many voicemails and emails a week we get saying, I've got this rabbit. It's running free. If only I had a credenza that it could sleep
in. I have a question, though, just basically on in terms of the bunnies, like what is the difference between some like, have you met other bunny owners? What do you guys have in common and how is it different than like a cat owner? Or like we're dog people.
Great question. What is the lifestyle that you're describing?
Yeah. I mean, they're like an alternative pet. So I feel like they attract people who are like a little like weirder or whatever. And they're vegetarian. So I feel like a lot of folks are into that. You know, you don't have to like feed them like wet cat food that smells disgusting or whatever. And their litter smells less offensive because they're vegetarians.
I will say though, the person I knew who had a bunny let them sleep in their bed and their bed was full of holes that the bunny had chewed. Does that ring a bell? Do they chew stuff up?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Have they chewed some of your cool stuff? Or will they chew your credenzas? Are these chew proof?
They're not quite chew proof, but they're chewing.
Ouch. I'm feeling a little bit like Kevin O'Leary over here.
You might have to go take those architecture exams. No, first of all, I like the idea. I do like that you're aware that you're leaning on your partner maybe disproportionately, you know, because I feel like I am just now realizing with Moshe, sometimes I lean on him too much. And I will say, although you haven't said the full question, so maybe I should let you. Is that pretty much what it is? Like, what do I do if I'm leaning on them too much?
There's a little bit more.
Come on. Bring it to us.
Go on. Okay. So, I've been leaning on him a lot. I'm worried that he's starting to burn out because like my passion is like literally taking over our lives. It's taking over our house. I have like furniture prototypes everywhere. Like I'm looking at it right now. I use the kitchen as a pinup wall. It's just everywhere. Right. But my main question is like, how do you not burn out your partner when you're really excited about a project you're working on? But then related to that, like, how do you feel less insecure and more confident and really develop like a stronger relationship to your intuition? I know that's a really hard question to answer, but I feel like the reason I'm leaning on him so much is because it stems from like that insecurity. Mm. And as you two are like, you know, both creatives pursuing your passion, I'm wondering if you guys could have any, you know, share any insight on what that means to like, you know, do something you're passionate about, but be in a relationship.
Well, first of all, I just want to say comparing bunny furniture to comedy feels disrespectful to me, and I just want to start there. But no, I think that these are actually great questions, Natasha.
Well, I just have a few things I want to say up top is that I've been in a bunch of relationships, and I feel like me and Moshe, you know, I can't say that Moshe is the most interested in my career as of any guy that I've dated, but I will say that like, whatever we have works the most. Like, you know, like I'll talk, he'll listen to me up to a point and then he's just kind of like, okay, well you have to figure that out. Whereas like I've had boyfriends in the past who just have this like endless ability to like, listen to me. It's all about me. And then as soon as you mention something about them, they deflect it and want to keep talking about me. And then you start to see like, oh, that's actually unhealthy. Like, you know, and I loved it at the time, but it wasn't that sustainable. And like with Moshe, it was like, he was interested, but not that much. And then I've had people who weren't interested in what I said at all, you know? And I think that like finding the level that works for you in a relationship is really healthy. You know, like, I have friends who are dating people who are like 10 times more successful than them, and that's very stressful for them. And then I have friends who are dating people, and I've dated people who couldn't even afford a coffee, you know, and that, but would listen to anything I said about my career and had great ideas about, you know. So I just think like, it's not exactly your career that's the issue. It's like finding the right balance in your relationship, because you shouldn't have to like rely on them for everything.
Well,
yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense, Moshe? Totally, that was not a dig to you.
No,
but like,
I hear what you're saying.
And I'm attracted to the fact that Moshe actually does have a life and he doesn't want to only listen.
And I straight up don't care if Natasha fails completely in all of her creative endeavors. That's sort of the glue that binds us as a couple. I have a question, Jenny. You say you're afraid of burning him out. It sounds to me like maybe there is some, he's maybe made some comments. Is it possible? Is that right? That has there been actual tension, not just fear that there might be tension, but that is he maybe like, dude, the credenzas are kind of, it's a little overwhelming. Have you had some actual tension?
I think it's more like kind of what you were saying, Natasha, of like, I want, it's kind of like, it's unfair that I'm expecting him to be excited about the thing that I'm excited about.
Right.
You know?
When who like, would in on earth could be excited about that? Yeah. Okay.
Well, wait, but can I just say one more thing? You are, if you like this guy, you might want to tread carefully because you're already a bunny lady. So you don't necessarily want to be like a bunny lady.
And a bunny CEO.
You know, you might want to like put it away for some of the day.
No, I think this is, my instinct here is leaving me making fun of your career path, which obviously we all think it's going to be a huge industry in the future, is that it's all about respect, right? Like, it's you should respect your intuition. You should respect your creative endeavor and the thing that's giving you passion. Even if it is, if it's going to make you a millionaire or if it's going to be a hobby that's going to sustain you and make you happy, you should respect that intuition. At the same time, you can't let your passion, your intuition envelop the entire relationship and have him just living in basically an apartment that is a hybrid dog crate / kitty litter box, right? Like, he also has to have space to do his thing, even if he's not, even if you're like, but I'm more passionate about bunny furniture than he is about anything, it still feels diminishing to take away all of the space in order that your dream become realized. So just find a way to, you know, give him the space to be, because basically, I don't want to be too reductive about gender, but he's a man, and men, even the most supportive, even the most Portlandy men in the world, even the men that fall in love with rabbit CEOs, still want some feeling of like, meanness, my thing. I have a space. That's why all men are like obsessed with man caves, right? It's because they just want like a little, they want a corner that is theirs that feels like their thing.
Wait, that's what I want.
Well, I'm not saying women don't want it too. Women do want it. I'm just saying to take it all away, there's all this ingrained misogyny programming too, where you're like, damn, I don't even get to be my own, have my own full identity in this. I'm just here to be support staff to my partner. So that's what I would say. It's just find a way to do your thing, listen to your intuition, do it at 100% while still pouring fuel into his tank.
I have an idea too. If you are feeling insecure and that it's like it's a lot of all your bunny crap all over the house, like what if, and your business and all your hopes and dreams for your business, what if you just shared with him the positive stuff for
good.
A while? You know, like don't tell him every insecurity or everything you're afraid of, or what if this doesn't work, or should I go back to my old job? And also, he might not be like with Moshe. Moshe kind of has like, he just always tells me I should go do stand up. That's like his only advice to me. So it's like whenever I want like more nuanced advice about
that's
my career.
That's not true.
Well, you're just like, you are like very, you're never like, yeah, you should take a break. Like, or you should.
No, I think that is not a fair assessment of what I say to you.
But that is like to me the underlying, I didn't mean to make this about me, but I'm just saying like sometimes if I want.
See, you're not the only one with insecurities.
A little more nuanced advice. Maybe I'll talk to a friend who's always got my back, who does the same thing as me, or, you know, or I'll go to a parent, or I don't know, you know. So I'm just saying you don't have to share everything with him, and it might make you a little stronger to kind of keep some of it to yourself, you know, because obviously it's very challenging to start a new business. But sometimes if we keep that inside, it can make us a little stronger, don't you think?
Well, I have a thought based on what you said. First of all, that's not true. I give you...
You're very supportive, but you're always like, when are you going to get back on the road?
But that's something different. I encourage you to not close doors on parts of your creative process, because I think, what's the point? And that actually leads me to you, Jenny. My next thought that just came up, I want to hear from you more, but I know we're doing a lot of talking at you. But I can tell by talking to you that you're like kind of a like badass, like businessy alpha woman, right? Like you've got, like you
She's
made,
a hard worker.
You made notes for this call, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw you looking at them. I can tell. I know about you. You are very, organized and planned, and like you have a. I bet you have a 5-year and a 10-year plan and all that kind of stuff, right? And when you're going to go public with Bunnies R Us or whatever. But the good thing is you're in this enormous position of privilege, which is that you are. You have skills coming in from the thing. This is such a great place to be in. It's exactly where I was with comedy, that you have a skill that allows you to make a good income. And it's not the thing you're the most passionate about in the world, but it's the thing that you can always know that you can make money doing while you work on this thing that is passionate. So in terms of your second question about insecurity and listening to your intuition, like, give yourself permission for the bunny thing to live or die or be successful or fail or be the next chapter in your life, because you don't have anything to worry about. I mean, you're in a great position. Which
no, but
is,
she quit her job.
No, but she's got her design thing. What I'm saying is, like, don't worry about what it will mean if bunny thing fails, because it doesn't actually, in the scheme of things, matter if it fails. It has no bearing on you as a person or whether or not you're a good CEO or whether you're a good business person. It just means this thing failed. What do they say? Like, I always say about stand-up and Hollywood stuff, it's not about whether or not you can succeed. It's about whether you can fail and continue. And like, you have to give yourself the permission to
theorize. That's so depressing.
Well, it's true, though, don't you think? I mean, how many pilots have you had that didn't go? And if you gave up,
all of them.
If you gave up on the first one, then we wouldn't be here right now, right? And so, like,
fail and move on.
Fail and continue. Oh, that didn't work. Let me do the next thing.
I appreciate you say that, because, for me, how I feel about it is I don't care if I fail or succeed. Like, the fact that I'm doing it is bringing so much fulfillment to my life. Like, I know I sound like a crazy bunny lady designing
absolutely
luxury for
rabbits. You 100% do.
I love it so much.
And also, doing a job that you don't like, you know, and that feels draining and you don't feel like is fulfilling. It's cool that you're able to take that risk and give it up. And I think the next step that we're all going to have to do with this great resignation and with not wanting to work as the same way that we worked maybe pre-pandemic is how do we buy less? How do we spend less money? How do we simplify our lives so we don't need to, so your overhead isn't so big that you have to have one of these jobs?
Don't ask her. She wants you to spend Bloomingdale's prices on a credenza for a rabbit. She wants you to buy more.
I hear you.
We're going to get a rabbit. No, but
quality, things that'll last forever.
I think, listen to that thing that you're, I think that's so great. Like, you're saying, like, it doesn't even matter if this is a quirky or niche thing that I'm doing, it brings me joy. So absolutely, there's no reason to be insecure about it at all, because it's this thing that brings you joy. You've already won. Even if there is no failure, you've already succeeded.
And let's face it, most rabbit ladies don't have kids and have a lot of disposable income and can probably afford a credenza.
And most rabbit ladies don't have a partner to lean on. Most rabbit ladies are desperately alone and will never find love except in the arms of their bunny rabbit.
Moshe.
What?
She has love.
That's what I'm saying. You've got love, you've got a backup career and a backup to the backup career and a passion. To me, I hear you. I'm like, there's no reason for you to be insecure. I know it's easy for me to say that, but I'm like, what a badass life you've got. You've got everything you need. Love, a passion, a source of income, and a dream, which is to bring credenzas to the bunny rabbit world.
So now we're going to let you go and talk to someone with some real problems. No, I'm just teasing.
Well, I guess... the thing that I'm like really scared of or worried about is like my husband's gonna leave me because I have no other outlet. I can't find other outlets to talk about all this stuff to. You're like, I'm only talking to one person.
You're draining him dry.
That's kind of what I'm doing to you, honey.
We were just talking about that, Jenny. We were just talking about that. And it's like, first of all, your husband's not gonna leave you. That's just bullshit fear. But it sounds like, well, it is. I mean, it's like, what are you talking about? Like, he's going to leave you because you talked to him about rabbit furniture too much? Like, what kind of relationship did you have in the first place? But it's an instinct that you should listen to. It's the important information that I hear there is you need to find someone else to get some of the stuff off your chest with, right? You don't want to use your husband as your sole source of emotional release because you feel like you're overusing him. You want to give him the space where you can talk to him about loving stuff, not just all the negative stuff. Well, I mean, there are things to do. Find a friend. Or find a therapist.
Therapy. Like, yeah, find a therapist. I was just thinking I was going to maybe talk to a therapist.
I was thinking the same thing, that you should talk to a therapist, Natasha.
Thanks.
I've been thinking seriously about referring you to a therapist recently.
No, but it's like it is too much to like put on your partner. And I feel like I'm not quite balanced yet, you know, like I don't have, like, I'm just not used to being that social with people again, you know, in a way that feels meaningful. And then I got so busy with work that, you know, it's hard to find the balance. And, you know, therapy is kind of like a little bit of a fast track.
This is what happened, Jenny and Natasha and me, is that in the last, I've realized this recently, in the last 2 years, our lives became like truncated, and then we fortified walls, cognitive behavioral walls around that diminishingness of our life, where our lives became fortress based, right? Like, it's like me and my partner and my kid, and that's it. And for you, it's you and your partner and the 900 rabbits, right? And once it became small like that, 2 years in, we've become a little bit institutionalized, right? And so we have forgotten that, oh, you know, I used to go to my buddy with this stuff, or I used to go to a therapist with this stuff, because we become so used to living inside of our house. This is like, and it's a process of enforcing the mentality that we have to go outside of our houses and our little unit in order to get fed by the universe. We have to do that. Like, when I was talking to Natasha about masks today, now that they're unmasking kids, right? And there's a lot of kids that are saying that they feel more comfortable with their masks on, right?
I see it. Like, we were at a kid's party today, and the parents like, you can take off your mask. And they're like, no.
Right. And at a certain point, they're kids, and they've been conditioned over the last couple of years to feel safe with the mask on, right? Which is normal, because we had a pandemic. And as we move into, vaccination and taking our masks off outside, this is my opinion, I hope this isn't too controversial, that fear part, that has nothing to do with COVID. That has to do with the trauma that that kids have gone through in the last 2 years, because they've been living through a global pandemic.
Back up. I mean, that's like, I was screaming that to my daughter for like a year.
Right.
So, like, when she would, and you know, remember when we didn't really understand anything about COVID, you know, and then you have a kid like running around, you just didn't know anything. You're like, don't touch that pole.
So I think that it's a parenting decision. I'm not telling other parents what they need to do. I'm talking about for my kid, if she ever expressed it, which she doesn't, because she loves COVID and she's a COVID truther. She hates Fauci. She wants Fauci fired and executed. But I think it's a parenting decision to say, okay, this thing with the mask that you're expressing, it's not about being safe from COVID. It's about trauma. And I think, like, figuring out a way to get the mask off outside and work through what the trauma is like the job of parents in the next year, right? So how does that relate to what you're talking about? I know we're off on a tangent.
Sounds
a bit.
Awful.
I think that it's like, you have to, Jenny, take it for what it's worth, and I have to also, and Natasha has to, everyone has to, everyone that's been a little bit institutionalized by all this stuff has to find ways to reintegrate ourselves into normal life. And normal life is not everything is on my partner. Normal life is I have friends, I have a therapist, I have people that I talk to. You know, so that's what I would say. Find avenues to, and then it's going to make your relationship probably better, because it's not going to be all this rabbit stuff. It can be romance, rabbits and romance.
And it's also like, you have to go out a lot. Because I feel
a little R&R. That's great.
I feel very rusty socially.
I feel rusty too. Do you
I'm
feel that way,
parties,
Jenny?
And I'm like,
oh my god, absolutely.
I think this is pandemic related, Jenny. I really do. I think it's like, I don't know if the pandemic is over or not, but I know that, like, it's time for me to start working on the parts of myself that were conditioned and atrophied by the pandemic. I'm no longer as worried about COVID as I am about my instinct on a Friday night to be like, well, there is a party, but I think another 5 episodes of Deep Space Nine. I don't want to be that dude. And I bet you don't either. You got to get those rabbits out into the park.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is another thing that's hard. It's like my social circles are so small, like they're revolved around people that I went to, you know, I worked with in architecture or went to architecture school with. So it's all architecture folks. And I'm like having trouble trying to figure out what kind of folks I need to meet and then try to learn social again.
I got it, dude. I mean, it's so obvious now that you say it. not only would a therapist be good for me, for Natasha, for you, for everybody, but once you get the therapy, I mean, find yourself an online bunny rabbit community. Who's going to have an indefatigable energy to listen to you talk about bunny furniture? It's definitely not your partner. It's definitely the Reddit subthread bunny ladies. So find those people and you can go into your...
There's no way it doesn't exist.
It 100% exists. So just go on there and those people will talk to you about it for hours, forever.
Yeah, that's a good point. I did start like being more active on Instagram, which has been really unnatural to me, but it has helped like feel connected to...
You're the only one who being more active on Instagram has helped them feel, feel connected.
But here's the thing is with the internet is interesting because there are different vibes on the different social media things, right? Like Instagram is all about like looking hot, looking cool, looking like your life is awesome, right? Reddit, I think, is about collecting information, and Facebook is about taking over democracy and crumbling it from the inside, turning us into ideological foes until we eventually melt down into a nuclear holocaust. But while we wait, Facebook has all these groups of like little niche interests like you're talking about that are really actually little communities. So I would say find on, if you're on Facebook, and I'm still on Facebook because I support what they do politically, find a little bunny niche and get on there and start. I have a Tiger RV. It's the name of my RV. I'm on the Tiger RV owners community on Facebook. And I'm
oh
in
my
there.
God. And if Moshe, I told him, I said, I cannot talk to you about there. I can't talk to him about composting toilets anymore. I can't talk to him about RVs anymore.
Exactly.
And
so
he
I
goes on these, he's like on a composting toilet message board.
I found some fucking dorks like me that were interested in talking about when human feces decomposes in a way that doesn't stink. So you got
to
find.
And he would come to me like all riled up, wanting to like discuss the different versions that we could get. And like my face just kind of goes to the side and like I just start to stare off into space and I can't really do it anymore.
And Jenny, that's you. You got to pick up on the cues when your partner's kind of glazing over because you've been talking about what kind of velvet to put on the rabbit furniture. You go, oh, this isn't the dude to talk to. I got to log on and talk to some other fucking dorks. All right, Jenny, we got to go. You're the best.
Love you. Good luck, honey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good luck.
I mean, we helped her.
We
couldn't keep helping her.
You're right.
There was like a million more ways to help her. But
what she needed to do, honestly, she didn't need to call the Endless Honeymoon podcast. She needed to go on Shark Tank and have Damon,
ooh,
have Damon John and Mark Cuban and Kevin O'Leary and those guys tell her, this is not a business with legs.
No, it could be.
You think so?
Well, I know a woman who lives with a bunny.
That's one piece she sold just now, that woman.
But I'm just saying there must be a lot of them.
If you're a listener and you like bunny rabbits,
it's
or
like
have a
when
bunny
people
rabbit.
Liked ferrets.
Right. I remember that.
It was like all
well,
the cool, weird people had a ferret and they'd
I'm
like
from
climb
California,
up your pants.
And I'm from California and historically ferrets were illegal in California. And there's like a whole group of people in California that are like, why are ferrets illegal in California?
Those are way grosser than a rabbit.
I think ferrets are
They're like weasels.
All right. Well, listen, we have another call, right? Okay, we got another call? Oh, let's do some secrets.
Oh, I thought they were waiting. I wasn't sure.
Hey, Dosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
You know, I've been thinking lately, you super need therapy for your mental health.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Remember how I've been saying that to you every single night before we go to bed and you're asking me to stop saying it?
Mm-hmm.
If you ever do decide to go to therapy, what I would recommend is a little program I like to call Talkspace.
With work, school, and relationships pulling us in every direction, it can be hard to find time to focus on what you really need.
Well, this is a good time to go to therapy because you can do it all online. You don't have to suffer through the indignity of driving to a clinician's office.
Talkspace has thousands of licensed therapists across dozens of specialties, so you can connect with someone that's trained for just what you need. With 24/7 asynchronous messaging, you can talk about what's on your mind in the moment without waiting for an appointment.
What is asynchronous?
I don't know. It sounds cool though, and I need to find out.
Maybe it's that you send them a message and then they send it to you when they can.
Right, but it sounds like you can just to worry if it's in the middle of the night or whatever.
You also have chat, video, or audio options for your live sessions, so you can get support on your own terms and on any device.
Your privacy is a priority, and Talkspace has encryption and added security features to keep your conversations secure.
So sign up today at Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with the promo code HONEYMOON.
That's $100 off at Talkspace.com, promo code HONEYMOON.
Get the one-size-fits-one support that you need with Talkspace.
Hi, Natasha, Moshe. I just wanted to share this thing that thing that I've never told anyone, which is a technique that I use every time I'm dealing with a breakup, which is when I find myself thinking about my ex too often, I pair a disgusting, visceral, like, thought or image with him. So, for example, with my most recent ex, I think of wet, dirty underwear, like dirty boxers when I think of him. And eventually I start to think of, I feel disgust when I think of him, because like that feeling comes up, and it's been working pretty well for me. So if anyone needs, you know, this piece of advice, there you go. And then with my ex before that, it's even more disgusting, which is why I haven't told anyone, but I do this. So I think of a used dirty condom, like not your used dirty condom, but like just like a, like one you found on the street when I think of him, and it works like a charm. All right. Thanks so much. Bye.
I like that each person gets a specific gross thing.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's also
that's
like
smart.
Well, I don't know. What is this lady? This feels like high level, like cognitive behavioral therapy shit. Or did she come up with this on her own? It feels like an actual technique.
Yeah.
It's really good.
No, that was recommended to me. I told you by that dominatrix I used to know.
Oh, to associate a disgusting image?
No, she said, think of them shitting their pants.
Right.
So it's like it's the same idea.
It's the same idea as having a rubber band on your wrist, and when you want a cigarette, you smack yourself, so you associate pain with smoking, right?
That
or
works.
Something like, I guess. I don't know. That's really interesting. What are your advices for people that are in breakups who are like longing for their exes?
You just have to be busy and fill up the time.
Fill up the time. I got you have to unfollow them on all forms of social media. There's nothing good.
Or just mute them.
Nothing good has ever come from like looking through your ex's Facebook posts or Instagram posts. And also, I don't know if I've said this yet on the podcast. I think closure is bullshit. What is closure? Oh, I want to talk to him one more time. Closure. Closure means I want to talk to him one more time and see if I can do opener and make him fuck me one more time. Like,
yeah.
Closure? I need to have a conversation. Closure is you broke up. It's closed. Like,
you
what,
never feel better after that.
What information
it's
does your ex have?
It's the the only people who want closure are the scorn. It's usually the scorned person who wants one more time to talk to them.
They want more. They don't want closure. They want to continue the connection. Like, I had a friend who was in a breakup. This happens a lot. I might not have enough compassion with breakups, because my primary feeling with breakups is it's heartbreaking and it's awful and it's something that everybody's done, and it's the most cliche feeling in the world. Even though it feels so monumental to you, it's like every relationship ends in a breakup except maybe one, right? So I had a friend who was in a heartbreak for like 3 years. He just, you know, everybody's had a friend like that, right? Where they just keep, every time you talk to them, they're just like processing
the person again and again. You're like, I can't. Then you don't even want to hang out with them, because you're like, we're going to have to talk about this person.
Exactly. And it's like, for maybe 2 months, 3 months, it's processing your breakup. After the 3 month point, you're picking a scab. You're making sure your wound never closes it's so seductive, because it feels therapeutic, because you're like, what? I'm talking through my feelings. But you're not talking through your feelings. You're like putting kindling into your feelings fire, so that 3 years later you're still like weeping at a picture of them. So I don't like closure, unfollow, and have no compassion for yourself. No, I'm joking. Breakups are difficult. I like this lady, wet underwear. And I like that she said, not your condom.
You have to really think that you don't want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with you.
That is such a hard thing lesson, isn't it? You just keep being seduced by this idea that if you could have mildly... It's negotiating. It's like a death, right?
I wish they didn't like big tits. That's what I would always say.
Every man that's ever broken up with you is because you didn't have big enough tits?
I don't know. I'm just saying, there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm. Honey,
what can you do? You got to find a guy who likes small tits.
Let me tell you something.
Huh.
If we ever do end this relationship, mm-hmm. it will not be because you are an A and a half cup.
But you like my, because you don't care about my tits because you like my butt. But some men don't even look at a butt. Why am I trying to get them to marry me?
Right. That's our advice to everybody listening. Some men don't even care about a tit. So why are you trying to get them to marry you? Honestly, wet underwear.
All right, let's hear another one.
Hey, Moshe. Hi, Natasha. So I have these humane mouse traps where, you know, you catch the mouse and then you can release it. I live in New York City.
What?
And
Hold on. Stop this. What are you shaking your head at?
Humane mouse traps.
You want them to die?
Yes.
Why?
Because.
Why? Just for the sadistic thrill of it?
Yes. And because then it feels like they'll come back less.
No, you take them to that's the beauty of New York. You put the mouse into the humane mouse trap. You get on the train. You go to Harlem, you go to Brooklyn, you go to Long Island and you dump them in a different borough. They can't make their way back. What are they going to jump on the train?
I killed a spider the other day and the nanny was like, "Did your mom just kill a spider?" Yeah, I killed a spider. That's what you do with them.
It's a little different than a mouse, but also
I
spider.
I would kill a mouse more than a spider.
You've never killed a mouse in your life.
I would, for sure.
For fun.
No, not for fun. Yes, Laura?
No, we're going to get back to the secret. Okay. Our producer just interrupted us and said that we didn't finish the secret.
Sorry, I'm afraid of mice. I hate them and I want them all to die.
All right, fine. Rats, Laura, too. If you want us to finish the secret bad enough, let's do it.
So I don't want to just release it somewhere where it's going to go back into somebody else's apartment. So I was taking it out. We live kind of by the river, so I was taking it down there and releasing it where I thought there was plenty of places to hide.
Oh,
and
my God.
They would probably have access to food from people walking around, leaving snacks and whatnot. So, but now it's too cold. It's winter, and I was worried about the little guys freezing out there.
Scarf and
so I've been taking it to a McDonald's. And there's like a little area where they load in that has some plants and stuff. So I've been releasing them there.
Full disclosure, that's rude.
I've been vegan for 30 years, so I kind of have a vendetta against McDonald's. So I don't feel too bad about it. That's my secret.
I don't think I could date a guy who had
Who did humane mousetrap.
Yeah, I don't think I could.
You're like, it's got to snap and break their neck, or it's not. I'm not giving you any neck.
That's how I feel. I really do.
That's
this seems like
insane,
a waste
Natasha.
Of his energy. Why is he
doesn't
is
want
driving?
The...
He is taking like the D train to a McDonald's with his little mouse house that he caught the mouse in to let it free in a plant
sweet.
In McDonald's.
You wouldn't date someone because they didn't want to kill mice.
Yes.
You're a psychopath.
Oh, so is he.
All right, let's hear one more.
Wait, hold on. What do you think? Laura, do you think that's normal to bring mice? Would you kill a mouse? I just wouldn't touch it. I
wouldn't go near it. She wouldn't go near it. You know what the worst are? Those gum traps. I tried that early on. Those are awful. Awful. I'll never use one. Those are very inhumane because they put the little mice, they see a little seed on a swimming pool of glue and they like run on them. They're like, oh, cool, a seed. And then all of a sudden they like can't move. And then they're just still alive.
Oh, and they're like,
and they're just
ugh.
Like chilling. And they're, by the way, they're still alive and they're like right by. Imagine you're super hungry and you see a cheeseburger in a field and you're like, fucking hey, a cheeseburger. And you run to go get the cheeseburger and then you get stuck in glue like a snout away from the cheeseburger.
Oh,
they're just
God.
Like, they're just like getting stuck right by the cheeseburger. And then you got to come to them and they're still wriggling. You know what I used to do? I don't do them anymore. By the way, if our listeners are getting upset, like I don't do that glue trap. I learned my lesson. But what I would do is I would take them and then I put them in a bag and put them in the freezer.
The mice?
Yeah. To kill.
What?
Well, what else was I going to do? I wanted to
your freezer?
Yeah. I wanted it to die a humane death. I wanted it to freeze and then I would throw it away.
Are you kidding?
No.
That seems extremely unsanitary. Please don't do that.
It's not. I'm talking about the past.
Do
you want me to not have done it?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't. Isn't that crazy that I didn't do that? It's a cool fantasy, though. It's a weird idea I once had. All right, one more secret.
You really did that?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. I don't think that's weird.
To put a dead mouse in your freezer?
It's not dead. It's alive. That's the problem. I could put it in. Here's my dilemma. I take the glue trap. I put it in a garbage can. Then it's just sitting in there like starving to death in the garbage can, suffering. And I was like, why would I want to do that to this thing? So
I call an exterminator and then leave.
You would call an exterminator to come kill a mouse that's already in a trap?
Yeah, because I would think that there was more
that
lurking.
That is wild.
I hate mice.
I hear you. That is very obvious.
All right, let's hear one more.
Hey, Natasha Mosha. I'm calling for the Secrets Hotline. And my secret is something that I've never told anyone personally other than three of us involved. And I could never tell my wife. And it's that before I knew my wife, I had sex with my mother-in-law in a cuckold situation while he watched, while my father-in-law watched. My wife doesn't know. This happened about 2 years before I met my wife, and she can never find out. Thanks. Bye.
Wait, hold on. He had sex with his mother-in-law and then the father-in-law?
Yo.
Where's his parent?
His parent was not involved.
No, I know, but...
At first, I thought he was, though.
Her mom?
Yes.
He had sex with her mom?
Yes.
What?
And this was before he met her. He like met them on Craigslist or FetLife or something.
Oh no.
And he fucked this woman an older woman while her husband watched. He was like, that was hot. 2 years later, he walks into a Starbucks and there's a beauty sitting there writing poetry.
Whoa.
About humane mousetraps. And he's like, what's your name? And she's like, I'm Diane. And they started a beautiful relationship. And she's like, I want you to meet my parents. After 6 months of dating, then she brings him home. He walks in and he's like, ooh.
I mean, this is a very hard one because remember our daughter yesterday, she was like grilling us about like, what's a white lie?
Uh-huh.
What's a lie? What's like, because we determined that a white lie was something that actually makes the person feel better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that would be okay. Like, oh no, I like your food. You know what it's
this
good.
Is? You know what this one is?
Omission.
It's a wet lie.
This is, yeah.
Because fluids were involved. Dude, that
I
is.
I think that you need to tell. This feels this like a lie. This is the
ultimate.
To not tell them.
This is the ultimate ethical dilemma. What do you, because he knew.
And the mom's going to say something.
The minute he walked into their house, he was like, oh my God. I remember you. I blasted all over your chest in front of my father-in-law. So he knew. So what do you do? This is the ethical dilemma. You fall in love with a woman. She's the love of your life. She's your wife to be. And you know that if you tell her, hey, by the way, you know, just getting stuff off of our chest before we get married, I did fuck your mother while your father watched, that she'll break up with you. That's the end of your relationship. There's no way. I mean, what woman, what person would stay in a relationship where their partner fucked their mom?
I know. And it would fuck up their relationship with their parents. Not only would you fuck up your marriage, you would fuck up.
What do you do? What is he supposed to have done? Should he have told her? I guess he should have just told her and not gotten married.
But it's such a violation for her to like know that about her mom. First of all, that her mom has three ways.
Sure.
And that, you know, that might be hard, a hard pill.
You
to wanna swallow.
Hear you wanna hear something really depressing?
What?
I would bet all of my money, and I have a substantial amount of money, a lot of money. I'm incredibly wealthy. I would bet all of my money that the sex he had with the mother-in-law
was hotter
than any sex he's ever had with his wife, only because it was so taboo and like fetishy. That's so probably, oh my God, I just realized something.
What?
Probably he's thought about the mom while fucking his wife. It's probably happened.
I don't know.
This is a rough one.
If I knew you fucked my mom.
Yeah.
I would actually be pretty impressed.
I do hope she's not listening to this. I know she's not. Gosh, that's a hard one. Do you think he should have told her? I guess so, huh?
Well, you're right. There's like, there's no woman who probably wouldn't like either tell her mom or, I mean, how chill would you? I mean, the mom sounds pretty chill, so maybe the daughter's chill too.
Very chill. I mean, damn, that is wild. No, but he said she can never know. So that means he knows she wouldn't be chill about it. Who would be chill about it?
Well, the good news is
the most open-minded fetishist in the world would still be like, my mom, I'm out.
Well, the mom will probably die in 20 years.
And take the secret with her?
Yeah.
That's true.
But the dad knows about it, too.
Dad knows about it, too. This is rough.
I would maybe not be in the relationship.
You would, what? It's the love of your life. You want to marry that person. It's me, right? It's me. And you, when you first met my parents, were like, oh, no.
I fucked that 70-year-old scientist.
Yeah, I fucked Dr. Larry. And then what do you do? Do you just end the relationship with me?
I don't know, honey.
God, I don't know either. This one, this is for the ages.
This is a stump.
Why don't we ask our next caller? We have one more caller before we say goodbye for the night. We're going to, oh, great. It's a couple. Brittany and Parker. Okay, this is it. Brittany and Parker will decide for us. Okay. Okay. We've got a question from Brittany and Parker calling from St. Louis. Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
What did we eat tonight for dinner?
Green Chef.
You dang right. We ate Green Chef. We had a black bean with peppers and corn with a lime crema sauce quesadilla.
It was really good. And the rice was delicious.
It was yummy.
I learned how to fire roast tomatoes.
Yeah, it was straight up good. Our kid ate it. We ate it. We had a healthy meal and it felt real nice. And we cooked it all ourselves. Green Chef is the number one kit for eating well with dinners that work for you, not the other way around.
Green Chef makes cooking easy so you can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. Green Chef's pre-made and pre-measured sauces, that's what I like about it. I don't have to measure anything or go to the grocery store. And spices gets you more chef-curated flavor in less time, and that's true. Everything does is like extremely tasty because you're such a great chef, Mosh.
I'm no Green Chef.
Your food's so tasty, like I need to have like really good flavors.
Well, Green Chef has come through with these really good flavors and more. They're healthy. They fit into every lifestyle, including keto. Including Keto Caitlin's diet. If you haven't started the Keto Caitlin diet, start it today. They've got keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, fast and fit, Mediterranean, and gluten-free, and they're all available in really delicious around 700 calorie meals in ready-to-eat portions in 25 minutes or less.
We get the vegetarian one.
And it's freaking good, dude.
Go to greenchef.com/honeymoon130 and use code honeymoon130 to get $130 off. Plus free shipping. It comes right to your door. It's in these little freezer pack things. So even if it sits outside for like 5 hours, it's still okay.
It's straight up yummy. Go to greenchef.com/honeymoon130 and use code honeymoon130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. Brittany, Parker.
Yeah. Hi.
Oh, Jesus.
Thanks for dressing up, you guys.
Before we get into you and the reason you called, okay, we have an extremely important ethical dilemma, okay?
Okay.
And we need you to work something out because we're stumped. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Are you guys married?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's the love of your life, right, Parker?
Yes.
I hope so.
Okay, great. Brittany, you got to weigh in on this too. So you and Brittany, Parker, you start dating. You fell in love with her, right?
Yeah.
And then you remember the first time you met Brittany's parents?
I think it was the first time I like met your dad after your surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. You walk in. Is your mom alive, Brittany?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Let's say that your parents are together. Okay. This is important.
Yeah. Okay.
It's important for the ethical dilemma here. You walk in, Parker. Okay. You're loving Brittany. You're like, oh, I love Brittany. You walk in and you go, oh no, I fucked Brittany's mom while her father watched. 6 months, a year before I met Brittany, and
what do I do
now, Parker? You're freaking out, right? Because you're like, I love Brittany, she's the love of my life, but I met Brittany's parents on FetLife and I cucked her mom. What do you do? And she'll probably break up with you. Brittany, would you break up with him if he told you in that moment?
I would have serious questions about a man who loved me and my mom.
No. Oh, you mean just you mean
love
physically?
Is different than sex. Yes.
I'm just saying it was purely sex. It was on a website, you know, and he didn't know. And he goes, "Look, I got to tell you, Brittany, I fucked your mom while your dad watched a year before I met you. I had no idea. Like, it's such a strange coincidence."
You're not marrying that guy.
Are you marrying him? You're not, are you? You're breaking it off.
I really hope this relates to something earlier in the podcast, and I'm very excited to hear what it is.
Well,
given that we've listened to your podcast for a long time, I can just tell where this is coming from.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I don't think I could do it.
You couldn't do it.
If he thought my mom was attractive and all.
So, okay, Parker, what do you do? Do you tell her or do you keep it a secret and hope that her mom can keep a secret too?
Hard
I know her mom. I'm also terrible at keeping secrets.
This is true.
And I'm just trying to think ahead of like the next 20 years of drinking and like
right, it could start to destroy
you. Inebriated, like I don't know. It sounds like a recipe for it coming out at some point.
Oh, what a
that's why I'm saying they should just not be together.
What a dilemma. Brittany, Parker, whatever reason you called today cannot equal what we just heard on our
it
secret
doesn't
hotline.
Even not have even anything close. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Brittany Parker, tell us what's up.
So, we are married. We've been married for 6 months. Parker is straight. I am bisexual, and he.
So is your recently... mom, by the way.
Oh God. Apparently, he recently expressed interest in a threesome, which I am all about. However, we have no idea how to go about finding someone who's interested in this. And also, like, we don't really want to advertise it to like the whole entire world or like everyone. Like, for example, if my mom or dad found out about this, I would be mortified. So sure. Don't know how to go about it and are curious for your suggestions and or advice. Well,
how do you become the couple who's not like the horny couple trying to like corner the hot? Wait, did he tell you he wants it with a girl, a woman, or a man? Or
a woman, yeah.
Listen, you chose the right method. If you don't want this to go public, calling into a popular podcast on video and asking this question, there's nothing subtler.
What we thought. I mean... Granted, I have told several people that we were going to be on here, and I'm going to send them the link when it comes out, but...
where do you guys
aside
live?
Aside from that, no one will know.
Where do you live?
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Okay. So it's just a big city.
I mean, when we were thinking... Yeah. When Moshe was trying to pitch me this for the first 2 years of our relationship... to no avail. He kept suggesting friends, and that was always like really off to me. Like he was always like, oh, there's this.
I just said we should have Joey or Rachel or Phoebe or Ross. I just thought there would be one of them down to fuck
Sorry, that just reminded me. I overheard a girl in Santa Barbara at a cafe writing her term paper on friends, and she was like going through all the people. Anyway, I'm glad I'm not in college right now. So basically, he was pitching friends. He was like, yeah, my friend's coming in from Burning Man or, you know, and like my instinct. Well, first of all, I wasn't wanting to do it then. Maybe I'd be more open to it now.
Oh, stop it, Natasha. This is the carrot she's been dangling in front of me our entire relationship. And the spectrum has gone from.
We were making bets on whether or not Natasha would be into this or not. We both said no.
Well, I don't know. I mean, but here's what maybe I would be into, which is what I'm going to suggest, which maybe is bougie. I don't know. But it feels appropriate to me to maybe go sex worker.
Yeah.
And pay for it. Just for the first time to see how it feels. So it's not like you, the horny, creepy couple at the bar, like, you know, getting on either side of some girl and then having to deal with yourselves if it doesn't work out. I mean, I don't know. That just stresses me out.
I'm not mad.
And then you're having someone come over, you know, you're more in control of the situation, see how it feels. And then, you know, maybe something organic would happen in the future.
Right, right. I think that's really good advice.
But I have no idea what it would cost.
Well, I mean, it would cost enough for a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I mean, it's not going to be that expensive.
Like $500?
It probably costs $1,000.
$1,000?
$500 to $1,000, I guess. That would be my guess.
That seems like too much money.
Well, you don't want to nickel and dime people you're going to be sharing body fluids
with. That's fair. We don't want it that much, though.
No. Are there, like, clean, you know? Yeah,
absolutely.
Like,
I think
you can be like, but with COVID, too.
Well, I think you got to you got to take some risks. I like Natasha's suggestion about a sex worker for the first time because you don't have any idea what either of your emotional state would be afterwards, right? Like the fact that the woman coming into your relationship knows what she's there for and is like knows when to leave is going to be so massive for both of you because there's never going to be a like, that's weird. I'm going to keep texting her. Why are you texting her? Just in case any of that messiness.
Yeah.
Your post-coital wrap-up session will really be like, it won't be that was weird. It might be that was weird, but it'll at least not be like, and now we're maybe going to see her in the bar or now we're going to, you know what I'm saying? It'll just be like, that person was a professional. They're gone.
Also, I will say, I don't know what you guys do for a living, but I have a friend who's an actor he and his wife did a threesome. Then it was like, read my script. Then it was like, they didn't read the script. Then guess what came next? Legal letter.
Ooh.
Sex worker good.
I felt uncomfortable by you guys coming on to me. So you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. Why not make it an exchange until it's organic?
There's like a famous quote. Yeah. I think it was it Alec Baldwin? It was some famous person.
You're talking about Charlie Sheen saying Charlie you pay them Sheen. To leave.
Well, why get to the punchline?
It's because it's not a pun. It's like a very, very common phrase.
Do you know about this?
No.
Thank you. Charlie Sheen got busted being with sex workers, and he was on The Tonight Show, and they asked him, Jay Leno asked him what his favorite denim suit was, and then after that he said, why would a guy, like famous Hollywood guy, pay for sex? And he said, oh, I didn't pay them for sex. I paid them to leave. And I think maybe that's a little degrading to sex workers.
Yeah.
But what I think the point behind it is, a professional, a sex worker, will know how to negotiate this stuff with you, especially somebody that's like good at communicating. True. They'll be like, oh, yeah, do you want me to stay and hang out and cuddle with you? Do you want me to leave immediately afterwards? Do you want me to, what do you want? And then you can, it'll be just purely physical. And then I love what you're saying, Natasha. If you guys go, wow, we loved that. Because I've had threesomes before, and I had a thing where me and my partner were like, afterwards were like, that was weird. And I don't think we really loved it. It was with another couple. It was more than a threesome. And it was like, that was weird. I felt creeped out. Did you feel creeped out? It was like, that's not for us to do ever again. And maybe you'll feel that way after the threesome. Or maybe you'll be like,
and you want to take the edge off. So every time you don't have, because I have another friend who said that they, whenever they go to their friend's house, the couple, it does always feel like they want you, the undertones are that they want to have a threesome or a, you know, they want to swing, you know, like you also don't necessarily want to be those people that, like, we used to, like, I would always have dinner parties and then I always wanted to, like, everyone to bring a swimsuit and get in the hot tub afterwards. And Moshe's like, not everyone's like into that. You know, like, I wasn't thinking of it as like sex, but like it just seemed fun. But, you know, you don't want to be the person who's like, now let's take off our clothes, everybody.
What do you want out of this, guys?
I don't. That's a really good question. I think part of me is like, I do identify as bisexual and I'm married to a man. So a lot of people just assume I am straight. And I think I also realized this like later in life. It wasn't a thing where I was like 13 and I was cool with coming out to everyone around me. So I think part of it is to just like honor that part of myself and acknowledge it, which you could argue that there's, you know, 1,000 other ways to do it. But I think this is something that we're like both into and we're like pretty sexually liberal. So we're willing to try. And I think it would be fun for both of us. I don't think I'm speaking for you when I say that. Like,
I mean, he's a guy. You don't need to worry about his feelings.
I was going to say, and then, and then for my reasons, it's the
you're a guy
reasons, the just the fact that it sounds fun.
Yeah.
But then also the fact that like, it would be like a perfect opportunity for her to be able to like express that part of her like sexual identity, I guess, is
you keep saying that.
How did you
to be, honey, this is all about you and your bisexuality and me honoring that, like, really, honey, I promise.
Brittany, how do you know you're bisexual?
Oh god, I don't even know. It took a lot of therapy for me to be okay to say that. But it just, I don't know. It's always, I think I've known since high school. Like, I just, I don't know. How do you know you're straight, Natasha?
Boom!
I don't. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm bisexual too.
Hey,
but
listen.
But she says it with such confidence, you know. But like she said, it took her therapy to be able to say that.
I think, here's what I really think. I think, the sex worker idea is a good idea. There's also, I know that there's an app or a website that is specifically for couples looking for threesomes. So it's singles and couples. I don't know the name of it. Maybe Laura can find that out.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So if you want to do a more like traditional, less sex workery one, you could do it that way. Or, you know, the internet is a good thing. Here's my actual advice. Is to send me the name of the woman that, my actual advice is to make sure you guys really process it in your relationship too, because you're married for you haven't been married for very long.
Yeah.
And like just making sure everything, the communication lines are so open, because you really might have this threesome and it might be triggering for you, Brittany. It might be triggering for you, Parker, because you're like, damn, she's bisexual. Is she eventually going to want women only? Like all of it, just making sure that there's like
talking about it before, talking about it
afterwards.
Because I think that could be really healthy.
Totally. I think like you guys have the rest of your lives together, so it's not something to rush into. What I would really say is, Brittany, don't promise the threesome at 6 months in and then by 7 years reveal that actually there was never a threesome that was going
to
come.
I'll do a threesome with you, honey. It just has to be the right thing.
Okay.
But now we're like, you know, more in the public eye. That's hard too.
We were always in the public eye. There's always going to be an excuse. No, it's okay. Listen, but that's, I think the point is like, I wanted to do that, but Natasha, like, it's all about who's really comfortable. You guys seem like you're comfortable. Yeah. So I'm not seeing a red flag. I'm just saying, making sure that you guys really process it.
Yeah. Because
it could be nothing too. You could at the end be like, that was awesome. High five, back to life. Or it could be something else.
Like, oh, meh. We don't really want to do it again.
Exactly.
Okay. I just have this vision of us fucking some girl on my bed and the three dogs are barking and like it just feels like
our daughter runs in.
Yeah, it's like there's just too much happening these days, like
I
to
hear
make
you.
The room for that. So, you know, get it while you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, you guys.
I was curious what you were going to say about apps, because I know, Natasha, you're not a huge fan of the apps. So.
No, I mean, if there's an app to... I just have never used a dating app because I met Moshe 10 years ago before people were on dating apps, you know? So, or, you know, not everyone was on an app 10 years ago.
Well,
like
by
now,
the way...
If I was single now, I'm sure I would be on some wretched app.
But apps and sites like FetLife and like this threesome one, they're perfect because people need to find people that are into what they're into. Oh, this is... app is called Field. F-E-E-L-D. Field is the threesome app.
Okay.
I think it's playing the field and also field. You know what I'm saying? Like I field her titties and I played the field. But but these apps I think are perfect because, you know, some people are looking for very specific stuff, you know? And so JDate is a good app. I think
for
what
a
you,
threesome?
No. For people that are looking for specific stuff. But honestly, who knows? Maybe. Did I ever tell you about my experience with JDate?
The woman asked you how many babies you wanted?
No. When I was on OkCupid, I got easily found tons of casual sex on OkCupid. At the same time, I was on, there's another one our producer's telling us called 3Fun, the number 3 and F-U-N, 3Fun and Field.
And I definitely think you guys should do this because it would be free, right?
Oh yeah, but then you're dealing with that it's a person who's not a professional, so maybe there'll be weird. It could get weird. Who knows? I think your sex worker idea is a really good one to break the seal.
They must be so used to that sex worker.
Exactly, and they'll be able to talk you through it. And I think the right sex worker, making sure that they're somebody that's comfortable with it. Yeah. But anyway, so I was on OkCupid, easily was able to find casual sex hookup people, but at the same time I was on JDate trying to find like partners because I was. And no one ever wrote me back. Never. Not one time.
Why?
I don't know. It was like...
Because they knew you were on...
Maybe they could smell it on me. I don't...
For pussy.
I don't know. This was a pre-Hinge day, the time. It was a different time. Anyway, good luck. And...
I'm the only one who fell for you?
No, on JDate, I struck out. It's not that I never dated anybody with any feeling behind it. I'm just saying on JDate, those women were not looking for whatever it was that I was bringing to the table.
You probably had those rave hoops in your ears.
Yeah,
still.
I wasn't. Yeah, they wanted somebody that was a different type of guy.
All right, well, good luck. And when you guys let us know what happens after, maybe it'll inspire us.
Yeah. Straight up.
Maybe I can keep dangling that carrot.
When you do it. And honestly, if you want to... bring it to the pod again when you're deliberating which sex worker to go to. You got to get permission from them, but we'll let the listeners of our podcast decide who you guys choose.
Sure.
Find us too. Okay. You got to get permission from them, and then they'll choose for you.
Yeah.
And but if you won't do that, call us afterward and tell us how it was.
Okay. Sure.
We'd love that. All right. Cool. Good luck.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
I mean, imagine how messy it would be if she if they started fucking one of her friends or someone she knew. It's like,
that's fair.
It's so obvious that that's not the way to go.
But we,
if you don't want drama.
But you and I did bring up the sex worker idea, I would say 5 years ago at this point. So it's not exactly as though
and then COVID happened.
That was 2 years ago.
Why don't you look into a sex worker and we'll try it and we'll talk about it on the podcast.
No way. You're not serious.
Why not?
Oh, all right. Great. I'll be looking. Now,
but
I
get to approve of her.
Okay, what do you want?
Maybe it should be a him.
You want what about a trans woman? That's a perfect.
What are you into?
I would, if you wanted a trans woman, I'd let you do that.
You'd let me do that, or you'd get to get some of that.
I'd get
too.
Some of that too. Whatever you want, you'd be in charge.
You're like whatever you want, trans person, please.
No, I would definitely do a cis woman too. I don't think.
What about a
man?
Cis man.
I wouldn't. That wouldn't be hot for me. No. So I wouldn't enjoy
what
it.
What if he's plowing me up against the
That's getting
door.
Hotter. Okay, he's plowing you up against the door?
Yeah.
Okay, because I hadn't
the
pictured him.
The door's shut. The dogs are out.
Where am I? I'm inside watching?
You're watching in the little chair in the bedroom.
Well, the problem is eventually that guy would marry our daughter.
Why?
Because of the secret that we heard earlier.
Oh God.
You don't remember? This is it's a perfect bookend for our. All right, Natasha, I'll be looking into sex workers. Hey, if you're a sex worker and you listen to this podcast and you think you might be the one, go ahead and give us a call. Give us an email, endlesshoneymoonpod@gmail.com. And if you have a secret that you would like to leave for us, go ahead and call us. Our secrets hotline is
213-222-8608. That's 213-222-8608.
Follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and all that stuff. If you live in Austin, Texas, we are coming to, once again, to remind you, we are coming to the Moon Tower Festival April 14th, 15th, and we have a special live taping of the podcast at 5 p.m. on the 16th. And please, if you're in Austin and you would like to be one of the couples that we give advice to, email us. Say, I'm in Austin. I'm down to come to the show. endlesshoneymoonpod@gmail.com.
But also, we are going to be going to Austin with our child, so we will be too busy for a threesome. That's, so do okay, not fair. Hit us up when we're in Austin.
That's true. Although Austin's a great place for a threesome.
That would
because
be
then
good.
You do it there, and then they say yeehaw, and then you're out. We
as
leave.
As long as you bring someone who can also watch our child.
If you are a sex worker who also is partners with a childcare worker, you could be the perfect person that we've been looking at. No, actually, if you are a sex worker who's partners with a childcare worker who also needs to get some advice on the podcast, you're the person we're looking for. So your partner can babysit our child on Thursday and Friday, and then on Saturday we'll find somebody else. And you can come get advice from us at the podcast afterwards in the green room. We will all make love to each other while your childcare worker waits, I guess, outside, and we plow her up against a door. Does that all sound right?
Sounds great, honey.
All right, Natasha, just for even being open-minded, even if this is a lie, I have to say, I do love you.
I love you too.